Welcome to VFN Radio. Happy after Merry Christmas. In between the New Year's thing, and it's like this never land.
All right.
I'm glad it's over and it's just about to begin, but am I? Oh, anyway. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today, the day after Christmas, a couple days before 2013 strikes and 2012 is over, is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio program and the one, the only, or the other Saints fan.
Hello. What an introduction.
Whose nasal projections broadcast around the world. And the one who lives on the outskirts of the city, which has been prophesied by over and over again by David Wilkerson, the King David of America, the one, the only, whose brother is bigger than him now, John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
Good afternoon. Here we are. You're listening to VFN Radio. I want to welcome all of our new listeners that have joined us over the Christmas day. Welcome Tom and Keith and Ernie and Jay and Linda and Nancy and Robbie and David and Baron and Newton and Franklin and James and Robert and Stephanie and Christopher and Angela, Kevin, Paul, Mark. Oh, I just can't name every one of you. I just want to welcome you to the audience, the VFN Radio audience, filling the virtual stadium for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is really, really soon to return. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me, of course, is the intellectual one amongst us, the one who did his homework, the one who knows how to Google about anything, who clicked his way to victory, the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Whose shoulder is out because he puts on.
Yeah, right.
And the graduate, criminal justice major, bachelor degree in putting people in jail and dusting crime scenes.
Summa cum laude.
Thank the Lord God Almighty. John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
Good afternoon, how are you doing?
Good evening.
I was just thinking about your degree. You know, what a wonderful degree. There's nothing like having a criminal justice degree, being able to watch all these criminal programs on TV because you can go, that's not how it works. I mean, it makes you a real astute juror. It makes you a great astute viewer of what's happening on these television programs. You know, I used to watch, you know, all these different kind of things like that, and I think, oh my goodness, you're not even looking in the closet. Your back's turned to the closet, and you're not even searching the closet. As Donna would say, shut up, come on, you're running it. It's like, no, he would be dead. The suspect could be in the closet. Come from a law enforcement experience right there. I was so proud of the time that my first, very first fingerprint that came out of a crime scene. They busted in. Well, I just got to be honest with you. Pat was breaking into a store. No, it wasn't. It was a gun store. It could have been. Anyway, a pawn shop, and they busted the window. It's a big, huge plate window, and you look around, you're thinking, you think, and realize it's not true, but you think, oh, they're not that dumb to do that, pretty much. But they had a program called the World's Dumbest Criminals or something.
Oh, wow.
They just realized they're going to leave prints, they're going to leave stuff, and he busted in, whoever it was, busted in, stole the stuff and came out, and I got this beautiful, beautiful thumbprint right there on that glass. I was so proud of myself. Of course, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody celebrated me.
Yeah.
But I was very excited, and the crime was solved by one thumbprint.
Wow.
Imagine how many crimes are going to be solved today with these digital prints. They don't even need that anymore, right?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me, Lord. So tell me, John, how was your Christmas?
Oh, my goodness. I had a very, very exciting, good Christmas. Had some family in town, and we really had a wonderful time. You know, we had a chance to go into the city. I think it was Friday night. I think I sent you some pictures.
Yeah, were you ice skating? Yeah. Were you ice skating there at...
Well, we went over to Bryant Park, to City Pond, City Bank. There's this huge ice skating rink right in the middle of the park. You'd never even know. They totally transformed the park.
Oh, cool. It froze over, or did they freeze it themselves? Did it freeze over itself?
I don't know what they do to it. They make, you know, you can't even tell. It's like a platform. They actually make a skating rink on there. I don't know how they do it, but
chemicals.
Right over a park.
It's chemicals.
Chemicals.
Something
it's
made,
amazing.
Something
it's
made
amazing.
In Jersey.
But it's so nice. They have music going on. They have all these little shops, and you get to see all the lights in the city. It was really cool. We went down to...
It was pretty neat. I saw this in pictures.
Yeah, it's really nice. Really nice. New York City is a nice place to be during the holidays if you're not freezing. But we're walking. We're walking all the way to F.A.O. Schwartz. I had some... my sister came in town, and my brother, and they wanted to go to this toy store, F.A.O. Schwartz. If you ever saw the movie Big a long time ago, where Tom Hanks is dancing on that piano, that's where that store, I guess that was filmed at or whatever. So we're heading down there, and it's just mobs of people that are headed towards the tree, the Rockefeller Center tree. And all of a sudden, we start singing Christmas carols, and this whole mob of people joins in with us. And we're like,
mob?
For a whole...
Was it that thing they do?
No. We just started just goofing around and start singing Christmas carols as we were walking, just in our little group. When you walk in New York City, there's just like tons of small little groups because everybody's walking the same path. And before you know it, we had, over 50 people singing beautiful Christmas carols all the way through. It was just hilarious. And it's just one of those weird moments on,
That's cool. Well, you're in the theater district,
Just goofing around, having a good time.
A lot of waiters out there, I'm sure, that are wanting to be on the stage.
We missed Pat. Pat would have busted a little solo there, but
we drinking so merrily bright.
So it was nice. It was a really good time. I had some time with the family and just kicking back, and it's really good, man. Really awesome just to pause and just to reflect on the Lord and Jesus' birthday and just talk about the real meaning of Christmas. And we had time of just...
Well, I noticed that your little brother is bigger than you.
That picture's inflated. You take an angle.
Do you think that's
shot.
Inflated, or do you think your viewpoint of your size is inflated?
He looks like some
WWE wrestler dude or something.
Dude, he's been like that since he was 12.
No, literally. And it's like John came up to maybe his middle rib or something.
Sweatshirt. The sweatshirt was puffy. Yeah, I had to look at the picture. I had to re-look at it.
Yeah, we're looking at it, and we're pulling out the slide rule just to see how much more he grew. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Adam, Officer Narvaez is just thickened up and working out, and it's amazing to see. It could have been the angle. I don't know. Last time I remember, you guys were pretty close, but he looked about twice your size. I mean, luckily your grandmother was between you guys, which threw off the distraction. If you pull your grandmother out, cover her up, and look at you, Tim's like half the size. You're like half. It could have been somebody sitting down low taking the picture. Was that it?
It's the angle. It's the angle.
Well, Adam, we ask you for a rematch, man. We'll y'all stand side by side. We get a new picture. But I know he's been working out. I mean, I'm sure he can lift some weight and all
he's
that.
He's in great shape. Working out, eating a lot, and working out. So he's.
Oh, he's a deputy. Everywhere you go, they go, have some more. Thank you. That's not my vest. I don't wear my vest anymore. That's not my bulletproof vest. That is chicken and dumplings.
Oh, my goodness.
How cold is it?
Very cold. It was blistering cold in the city.
But how cold is it now?
Snowed.
How cold is it? This weekend or yesterday, it was 10 degrees in Denver.
Well, it's 28 degrees here today.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. It's a blistering 78 down here on the coast.
Pretty close.
And don't let the wind come out either. Wind will cut you up.
Well, it's 15 now in Denver, but it was 10 degrees. It was 10 degrees in Denver. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And most people don't know that who live in Denver, because they're like, I'm not going to come outside.
They never leave the house.
I'm not going to. I heard Canada. I'm trying to think of the city up there. It's winter 9 months out of the year. Mm. I mean, like 10, 20, 30 degrees below zero. Mm. I'm like, yeah, that's bad.
Do people live there?
Yeah, they live there. They have houses. Yeah. If I named the city, you would know who it is, but I'm drawing a blank as usual. But yet, I mean, 9 months, I'd need therapy.
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
No sun for 9 months. I mean, immediately, the business part of me is like, hey, we could build an indoor theme park and put some, lights up and bring people. They probably have those things up there, I would think. But
they have a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, okay. You need to be able to do something like that to be able to survive. But the price, the houses are only like $3 or something.
I wonder why.
But the therapy's $17,000 an hour.
No sunlight? Jeez.
Speaking of wonderful weekends, I was excited to see how thorough Pat was with his Christmas shopping as he thought all year long and planned things. That was just so neat. I got to take notes next year so I can be as prepared as he was. So how was your Christmas?
It was wonderful.
It was?
It was very nice. Got all my shopping done on the midnight, Christmas Eve.
Oh, really?
The midnight hour. It was pretty close.
Wow.
Wow. What a thought process.
The guy was faithful.
He wanted to make sure he thought the whole thing out.
Yeah,
the
I like last to think about it. For
moment
a long
and last
time.
And last second. And yeah. But you know, I had mine well planned, you know, as
really?
Normal. And actually it was a word of knowledge. If I didn't have a word of knowledge, you know, I'd be in trouble, right?
I know that's right.
I'd be in trouble. But that's enough. You know,
what'd you do?
Just got the right kind of gift for the right kind of person. And we had a wonderful time. We actually didn't. We got together we had family come together on Christmas Eve. Donna fixed Belgian waffles.
Ooh.
Belgian waffles for all the children and grandchildren and my parents. And we had just all kinds of sausage and bacon and ham.
Oh my goodness.
It was a really good idea. Breakfast is pretty, it's a good idea. Anyway, so did that and just watched the grand boys. It's hilarious watching the children. There's so many, you can't judge how a child's going to be until after Christmas because they're like angels that kind of floated in with their wings,
yeah.
Kind of flapped around you. Hello, grandfather. How are you today? Can I get something for you? Because the presents are still wrapped under the tree.
Yeah,
they're still wrapped under the tree, right? Oh, can I sit by you? Can I sit by you? Of course, I love my grandsons. But they are just squozed up, tied up around me, and we're talking. I pulled out. Well, actually, he looked at my phone. I downloaded an app, which is not like me, of the garage band or something on my phone. I think you and I were talking about that.
Yeah.
And kind of just sits there. There's a lot of apps that I've downloaded that I've never even did. It just sits there. If you judge me by my apps, it will not be correct because I've never used them. Your Honor, I only downloaded it. I never even looked at it. And he saw GarageBand, so he started pounding on my phone and oh my goodness. That's anyway, so I hooked it up to the sound system. And so he was beating drums out and stuff for everybody, and of course everybody was hating it and I was loving it. And one of my grandsons casually bumped into my cup of coffee and it kind of poured all over the place, and he and I didn't stop or phase or nothing. Everybody else just got up, cleaned up the coffee. We just kept on going, you know. I mean, you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a moment in time. So we had a chance to do that. But then we got together and did a family portrait picture, you know. And I'm looking forward to being able to share that. Just the family just growing. It's just amazing how the family's growing. And I have 4 grandsons and one on the way. I'm very excited about Asher. And that's kind of how it went, you know. And, of course, when we gave them their gifts, they said, only one gift.
Oh, great.
I'm like, it's a Mercedes.
No. I was a thank you. Can I have that?
Yeah, no. I was, you know, flesh is.
We live
amongst it all the time. I'm used to that. I'm used to that.
That's what Pat said when I gave him his gift. Is that?
I remember, Brenda.
You gave me a gift?
Yeah. By the way, I asked y'all about my gifts, and I remember you guys got quiet. I totally quiet. So I went.
You didn't get it?
Well, I took y'all's back and used the money and got what y'all would have gotten me if you would have gotten me something. I'll tell you what I do. I mean, these iTunes, people give me iTunes cards to be able to get some stuff. But let me tell you, Amazon cards.
Amazon.
Amazon has a broader range. I'm stuck with songs and
apps.
Yeah.
But Amazon is where I shop. Yeah,
exactly.
That is amazing. You just pay a certain fee for the year, and it doesn't cost you any shipping. I mean, you need a toothbrush. Somebody says, run to the store. You pull your phone out and go click, click, click. Of course, I don't like the toothbrush, but it's amazing how quickly it comes. And if you're thinking about, hey, I might get something, you can put it on a wish list.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be careful, because if you don't adjust your settings, everybody knows on your wish list. Are you sharing my stuff on my wish list?
That's
totally crazy. I got to tell you about that, Pat. You've got a couple things on your wish list you need to probably.
Those fairy bunny slippers.
Yeah, I know. It was the bunny slippers, man.
Oh,
it was the bunny slippers. Don and I were out riding on Christmas Day because we did everything on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. After we opened up, she really liked my gift. It was really.
Oh, she did.
Wow. Yeah. Score.
It was amazing. She was so surprised. You know,
wow.
I mean, everything. I mean, she was always like, oh. You know, and I'm like, yes, I know. She goes, thank you so much.
No,
you know,
no.
And of course, what you do, this is what you got to get your wife. You got to get her jewelry.
Oh.
And you got to get her not just cologne, but you got to get her liquid money that you spray on her. Okay, perfume is amazing how much it costs. Ooh. I'm like, oh my goodness, we got to save up.
Really?
And then it's like, yes, but this is a big bottle. This has 3 ounces in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, well, from my law enforcement experience, that's illegal. I just get it's told, but it was worth it. Of course, Donna is worth it. And we had a real good time. And got a chance to spend some time with all of them, and just really cool. Yeah, so that's what it did.
Very nice.
I got tools. I got some tools.
Oh,
it was very good because
for
Matt for my office.
You got for me. Thank you.
Oh, no, wow. These are mine. These are my tools. I was trying to find a saw, and I thought. I probably gonna have to text Pat to find out if I have a saw. Because I have this, you know, you got these dog toys you get. You know, and Max, he looks, so my dog, my German Shepherd, I look at him and he looks at me and we know what we're saying.
Ooh.
And he's saying a couple of things I'm not saying. Right? He doesn't want to sniff something. No, son. No, Max, I don't want to. But we're talking back and forth. He looks at me. He taps his, he knocks on the door with his paw because he's got like a 12-inch. 12-foot type glass door, so he doesn't scratch or nothing. He just knocks on it. He just says, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
He says, good morning. And so I get him stuff. I get him stuff, and he's like, oh, this, because he looks so lonely. He's talking to me. He's like, I need some stuff to chew on. I need something. Yeah, I've been back here for quite some time, and now I can't see out the fence. He's late trying to find a crack in the fence. And so I get him something, and as soon as I get him something, he grabs it and runs right to a place in the yard. He digs a hole,
buries it,
and you never see it again. It's like, what is ingrained in you that you cannot have a toy? You know, and I paid all that money, and you bury the thing in the dirt, and he walks around going like, I ain't got a toy. You got 15,000 toys buried in the dirt. Dig them up. And so, I mean, seriously, you never see the toy again. It's amazing.
Gone.
Totally gone. He's like, I don't know anything about it. Next day, he knocks on the door. Hey, how you doing? I really need something to chew on. I think his thrill is about digging in the yard and burying it. So, and it costs a lot of money. But do you know how much a lodgepole 2x4x8 costs?
What?
Now you would know. I mean,
you're asking me? Oh, probably about $4 or $5.
$4 or $5. 8-foot chewing toy. 8-foot chewing toy that is, you know, $4.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. No chemicals, lots of pole studs, the ones they build houses with. It's not all that treated lumber and stuff.
Mm.
You know, he's just, no, no. And he's got a limp. Anyway, so I thought, man, I'm going to go. When I was at Lowe's, and I got a 2x4x8, even the curled bent up one. You know, I thought, I'll just help somebody out. I'll take the bent one.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna cut it up when I find us all. I'm going to cut it up in small pieces and just throw him a block of wood and let him chew it twice and go bury it and then throw him another one. You know, $4 may carry me like 4 months or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's brilliant. That's just brilliant. Don't spend all that money on them rubber toys and stuff. Dogs like stuff their teeth go into.
Did you find the saw?
No. I'm going to have to. You know where my saw is at? I don't even know if I have one.
I think
one.
It's in that shed back
if there. If you ever raised a son, tools are something you just kind of wait and see if you're going to have it in the future. Well, I remember I was gone from my dad's house for like, I don't know, 30 years. You know, he'd look at me and go, do you have my screwdriver? Like, are you serious? You know, I don't have your tools.
But that's my tool now, you mean?
Something between a dad and a son, the dad always assumes that the son must have taken the tool. Of course, what happens is we just lose our memory.
Yeah, right.
And we set it down somewhere and have to text somebody, do I have one of those? Do I have one of those? We have so much we want to share with you in just a moment. I do want to say this, that my son-in-law, Chuck, has been promoted. He will start the year out in 2013 as a captain. in the fire department.
Wow. Congratulations.
Captain Walters. Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
God is really blessing. He's really working hard. We'll be right back. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody. There's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness.
She hears
from God. You know, she learns to abide and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just, it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord and how they can spend time with God and how they can abide and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and that's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey is being blessed. The Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed. And so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iobide.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to VFN Radio, the first hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the first hour is John and Pat. You know, we're just talking about what's happening at Christmas and all the things going on. I do want to say, I was starting to talk about it and I changed the subject somehow. Don and I was driving on Christmas Day because we had that kind of open, we're driving around and loved it. Everything was closed. The only time you ever see stuff like that normally down in the Gulf Coast is because there's hurricanes. But everything's closed because it's Christmas Day. And we see this sign. And in the sign, we saw it. We just had to be able to take this picture.
Oh, wow.
Because in this picture, it made me think of Eddie. And we shot it to, I don't know if I sent it to him or not, but I tried to send it to him and Maria. But it says, Eddie's House of Barbecue. I'm thinking, oh, he would love that. He would totally love that. Donna's like, take the picture. But it just made me think about his good cooking. I'm looking forward to 2013 and coming to spend some time up in the Northeast and with everybody, the New Yorkers and the from Jersey, Jerseyans, and also spending time at Pittsburgh. That's going to be cool, too. Mm. I'm trying to get my strength up. I mean, I had to have strength in the city so I could run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We we've told you about it before. If you haven't heard it, you can hear it, that we were in a playground and they were drawing guns on us. No. You don't wear flip-flops in the city. That's ridiculous. Southern, right?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I run out of my flops. Anyway, so then, but Pittsburgh is just up and down, I mean. And so I got to build my strength and energy up to be able to do those walks and just meet everybody that's up there in Pittsburgh, which I'm looking forward to it. Now, Denver is just straight up. I mean, there's like straight up. You know, obviously when we see Brett and Sharon, they're going to be like the peak of fitness because they've been working in the upper mileage area of the earth. And they'll probably squeak when they walk. They'll be so fat. And so we're going to be seeing them in January. We're looking forward to seeing them. And then Texas, thank God, Texas is like the Gulf Coast. It's just kind of like
flat.
Mm-hmm. But it's hot. It's hot depending on what part of the season that you go there. KHR had something really funny to say about how hot it was, one of her professors. So I'll tell you what. Tragedy on Christmas Day came to really all the way from Texas, the Gulf Coast, all the way from Texas to Florida and beyond, where just a huge winter storm and tornadoes just started dropping out of the sky on Christmas Day. It was just really major. Three are dead, several injured in the wake of the storm that's reported in Mobile, Alabama. Roofs are being ripped off, storms and buildings being leveled down to a slab. It was just tragic.
Wow.
And, you know, I think about, you know, so much tragedy has come to us lately, and sometimes you look at tragedy and try to figure it out. And that's what the disciples did when the two towers fell, and they came to Jesus. They said, "Jesus, what about these two towers? These two towers that fell. This tower that fell not to, but this tower that fell on these people, and they died." And they were thinking that it was about those folks. And Jesus basically was letting us know that's taught to you about you. To show you that life is not forever.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, out of the middle of nowhere, Jesus says, they said, "Did this happen because they mixed their blood in the side? Did this happen because this happened?" Jesus goes, "Listen, unless you repent,"
mm-hmm. right?
You know, it's like, no, that's it's about right. that. And it's like, what these tragedies tell us, what tragedies tell us is what Jesus told us all along. Listen, life's not forever.
Mm-hmm.
The question is when it ends, and it will, it's appointed mm-hmm. once to die and then the judgment, where will we be?
Mm-hmm.
Where will we be? You know, and I think about, you know, Pam is in heaven with God.
Right.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, just what an encouraging thing to know that that's where she is and that's where we will be.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we will be because mm-hmm. She went on to be with the Lord this last week, and we had a chance to honor her and honor her life. And it was just a powerful, powerful time. And it's just, listen, these storms that came down on the Gulf Coast, they tell us this. They tell us this, that we need to pray for those that have lost property, those that have lost lives, those that are injured. And we need to look at ourselves and say, you know what? If I was in that storm, if I was in that tower, if I was in that earthquake, if I was a teacher at Newtown, if I was, would I be with God now?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how Jesus used the moment.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, we need to focus and you know, the tower situation and start building, you know, support bags and stuff to send mm-hmm. to the people's family, which is good to do. He just said, no, apply it to yourself. Realize it's over for them. So it's about mm-hmm. you. What about you? Where are you going to be? And it's the most exciting thing if you made preparations to be with God and you've served him and you're fruitful and you love him. And we're going to talk tomorrow about that, about, you know, what is the price? What is the price? What is the cost? Because there's a cost involved. And to be honest with you, based on my observation, in this present generation in America, I don't see very many paying that cost.
Right. Hmm.
The question is, if you don't pay the cost, do you get the reward? And if you don't do what Jesus said, does he just go, oh, cool, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it's true, yeah, yeah. Because if you go back and listen, I ponder on this quite often. I ponder on the moves, the powerful moves of God in the past and men and women that God has used. And obviously God partnered with them you know, or they partnered with God to do something. So you want to look at what did they say? What was their message? What did they tell mankind?
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing like today.
Right.
I look, and there's this thing about people who change the doctrine of God and for doctrines of men. They're good speakers. They're really good orators. They have ability to get a crowd and have ability to make things seem just tickles your flesh. It makes, because, you know, if we live our life trying to make our flesh comfortable, when somebody tells us about a God who's all about our flesh and making our flesh comfortable and giving us some sort of blanket grace that we can send, then that somebody who's flesh driven just buys into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that God was of the flesh.
Right.
You know? And
I can have that too.
Yeah. They would think these guys are insane. They would think that Jonathan Edwards had lost his mind. And many
Leonard
did.
Ravenhill.
Leonard Ravenhill, who would ride a bus, sleep in a tent, and spend all night with one convert to make sure he got it.
Mm-hmm.
People that would, Amy Semple McPherson, and people that would get in their cars, you know, their model almost just invented car, and drive across the town with a tent. Not a big tent, a little small little pop-up tent that she could sleep in while she was going to another place in hopes that she could preach the gospel, or going down into the streets and standing on a chair so people would just be attracted and look around, and then she would grab the chair and run up into a particular place and people would run after her, and then people would close the doors behind her and people would be locked in there and she started preaching the gospel. Bam, bam. You know, people got saved, and that's where the Angelus Theater comes from in L.A. Mm-hmm. and all the things that are happening comes from her ministry. She was the first Christian female, or female period, I believe, that owned a radio station in America. Just all these things, and it's like, these messages would not even, and it's like, has God changed or have we changed?
Mm-hmm.
Mom.
Has God, have all these guys, is it sort of like God's going, you know, that was in black and white, today we're in color. You know, that was back then when they didn't have Google.
Mm.
There's a play out right now. The play out right now. I can't get a chance to check on anything about it, but just the title of it totally just confirms what we've been saying all along. It's called Google God.
Oh, wow.
Google God.
Really?
Yeah, and tomorrow we're going to be talking to you about how the goal of these corporations, that's what they are, businesses, are to integrate their product with your body, to integrate it so that you can have more knowledge. And we're going to talk about the quest for knowledge is not the same as the quest for the knowledge of God. Many people are saying, well, God wants you to have knowledge. No, God wants you to have a knowledge of God.
Right.
And with the knowledge of God, all things come to you that you need. But a man's quest for knowledge outside of the knowledge of God is what puffs up a man. And so we have all this knowledge just being piled on top of us, more stuff than I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And people are running to Google instead of running to God.
Mm.
It doesn't cross their mind. They say, what do you think we should do? I don't know. Did you Google it yet?
Mm.
It used to be, did you pray yet?
Right.
Did you pray? It's like, well, we can't hear from God anymore. So we just go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it just, like, oh my goodness.
Wow. Mm.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
And we just kind of lullaby ourselves to sleep and find out, oh my goodness, what are we doing? And somebody says, you're insane. What are you doing? Saying that we need to turn from that. And don't you understand how the culture is today? It sounds like all the prophets of the past, don't it?
Yeah.
Put your shoes on. Put your clothes on. What you doing? Ooh. Eating dung by the fire? Why are you doing cutting up the prostitute and scattering everybody around? All this crazy, crazy. They lost their minds. It's like, you know, this is the big thing the Lord showed me. Showed me very specifically. And I shared this with somebody. And one of the things that he showed me was that a hole was being dug in the wall. A hole was being dug in the wall. And everything was being moved out, like luggage and that type of thing.
Mm.
And God showed me a prophet. He had a prophet do that. And the prophet was doing that to symbolize to all of God's people that, you know, judgment's coming, that your walls are about to have been broken into and that type of thing. So the prophet dug his way out of the wall. And, of course, somebody told me, nah, that couldn't be. And, of course, since then, everything's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And including them. Anyway, so it's, you got to understand that God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. He's a holy God. And, you know, me personally, I feel like Lord, I need more covenant with my life in this age that we live in.
That's right.
It's just so dirty. It's just dirty, the way that things are done.
Absolutely. You know, and everywhere you go, you see sin and you see just God's standard just being eroded. Even on public, just television, just watching anything, even the commercials. And it's like, you know what? We're going to have to be more engaged as believers. We're going to have to be more engaged in our walk with God. And I love what you said about, you know, making a covenant with God even more during the time that we live in, to say, God, you know what? I just want to make sure that I am where I need to be with you, and I want to be sold out with you, and I want to be in a place where I'm honoring you in every area of my life, and making sure that I am living, you know, the way that you want me to live. And not just, we're just talking about not every day just a walk. We're just talking about, you know, staying hot, staying on fire for the Lord, staying in the place of miracles, staying in the place where we're chasing hard after him and seeking his face, and not just looking at the things that are happening around this world.
Well, the whole thing is, did he change or did he not change? And if he did change, why did he hold people in our past such to high standards, and now he's got low standards for us? And that, and it's, we've gone so far that we have to ask ourselves, if we go back 10 steps, are we still in darkness? You know, if we radically change our lives, you know, are we still in darkness? I'll tell you what, the generation that I'm talking about, you know, Azusa Street, Charles Seymour, mm-hmm. Talking about John G. Lake, I'm talking about, you know, others that have gone before us, they would look at, they would wonder, this is what they would wonder. I'm at Jonathan Edwards. They would wonder if anybody in today's professed church even knew God.
That's right.
Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the things that they considered wrong before God and unholy and compromising and friendship with the world. And I mean, when the church first came to America, I mean, the Bible was their rule.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, the church has slid into now the world's laws are our rules, and the Bible is optional. And so they would excommunicate people from their city who were doing things that was bringing, you know, danger into their city. I mean, there was serious stuff they would do.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Edwards would have this declaration. He would say, "I resolve never to do anything which I would be ashamed to do if it was the last hour of my life." Yeah. Like, where has that gone?
Yeah, and the thing is, with that, you say, well, if I do that, if I make those kind of decisions and make a covenant, then I'm going to lose a lot of relationships with people who choose not to make those covenants. Or people are going to take on a religious spirit, and when they're around you, they'll act like they made the covenant, but in their tents, they're still living for the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so you end up creating this, you know, this huge storm, but that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, you know, that... And the thing about it, it's not about, and it, you know, if I was going to fail, I'd fail on the side of wanting to obey God, wanting to do what was right and works. I mean, you want to actually work. You want to have fruit, you know, and that means fruit. Not, you're not saved by works. But don't get so carried away with a message today that says, you know, that you don't have to do, you just say a prayer. And it's like, really? That's like saying that your wife, all she had to do was say, "I do," and nothing else the rest of your marriage, and you're going to have
hello.
One. And she looks at you and she says, "Honey, we're married by grace."
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, "I don't think so, honey."
That's
because
right.
It's about a relationship. Mm-hmm. The thing about it, if you did make a choice to marry me, you know, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, then there would be fruit in our marriage and our life that you wanted to be married to me. You're doing things not because you're earning something. It's because you made a decision the day we got married that you're going to be my wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to God, how do people go like, "I don't understand, you know, why does he want me to be loyal to him? And why is he upset that I'm cheating on him and having other gods? And why does he really mind that 97% of us are robbing him?" Come on. I mean, you know, and you know, plain as day, if your wife was robbing you, you know, and stealing from you, you'd be upset. You'd go, she'd go, "Listen, it's grace, honey. It's grace." It's like,
yeah, right.
"Listen here, Gracie.
Right.
Go get the family money and bring it back in here, right?
Right here."
It's just a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to God, people get blurry. It's like, come on. I've been pondering this. You know, has God changed or have we changed?
Mm.
Now, I can tell you this. The way that the enemy delivers darkness has changed. The way that he's able to creep. And there was a day that you used to have to go buy something that was sinful. Today, they deliver it to your door. They bring it to you virtually. I mean, they're trying, enemy trying every way he can to just infiltrate every individual life on the face of the earth. You have parents trying to raise their children, and yet their children are, you know, saying, listen, I need a cell phone. Or you have fearful parents saying, I need to buy you a cell phone. Or, and all of a sudden, the second they get a cell phone, they're connected and integrated with the entire world system, despite you parenting them or not.
That's, I mean, right.
Anybody can communicate to them. You don't have to know what's going on. They can go out and virtually do this stuff and communicate and whatever. And it's like the enemy's trying to have a direct contact with everyone, where God has a desires a direct personal relationship with you. The enemy can't do it outside of manipulation, control, and technology and all that. But God, there's a thing called a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where every day you walk and you pray and you talk to him, and nobody knows about that relationship really but you and him. And they know you have this relationship by your fruit. Well, now you got this whole thing going on in darkness, where people are having this relationship in darkness with technology, and they're getting around, and it's like nobody knows this of God, that you have this relationship with darkness, but they know you're having it by your fruit, what's happening in your life or what's not happening in your life. And it's just like, oh my goodness, there's a counterfeit to it. It's just a counterfeit to what's going on. We have to make up our mind. You know, a quest for knowledge or a quest for knowledge of God. Mm. When people say, well, I don't need that much of God. And it's like, we've settled for the knowledge. We're resting on the fact that we know enough to get us through this. We'll be right back in a moment.
Wow. At BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance, where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things, because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out, that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend
Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like.
Wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. We're coming to the end of the first hour. Don't forget to join us in the extra hour. But I want to remind you, don't forget, it is time. It is time for the One Thing 2012 conference coming up. Listen up.
The best kept secret in the church today is the magnificence of Jesus. The most powerful, pleasurable thing that will ever touch your heart is the excellence, the magnificence, the knowledge of this man given to you by the Holy Spirit in this age and the age to come.
There is an escalating crisis in our nation with increased abortions, rampant immorality, injustice, human trafficking, a growing economic crisis, and sustained drought, along with compromise permeating much of the church. At the same time, the Lord is preparing His church for the greatest revival and prayer movement in human history as His people minister in the power of the Spirit and reach out to see the great harvest of souls promised in the Scripture. The kingdom will make great advances, seeing the Lord's transforming power touch every sphere of society. Forerunners are arising who will lovingly confront darkness, expose lies, and take an uncompromising stand for the truth of Scripture with deep loyalty to Jesus. This December, join with 25,000 young adults in Kansas City as we encounter Jesus and His transforming power.
Praise be to the
December 28th through the 31st. You can't miss this. You can go physically go there, or you can be there virtually. You can be there virtually. Go to onething.com or go to IHOP.org and register to watch it. Listen, the knowledge of God. Seek the knowledge of God. Of all the things that you could have in your repertoire, on your resume, mm-hmm. on your DNA, who you are right now, we need the knowledge of God.
Absolutely.
And the One Thing Conference. And if you're young and you've been looking at, what's wrong with this, and you maybe you've been complaining or saying, hey, you know, One Thing's for you. One Thing's for mm-hmm. you, because you have to understand that sometimes the old wineskin and the new wine doesn't mix. They're both God, but you mm-hmm. got to rise up in your generation and be what God's called you to be. And Mike Bickle and all the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, they have a passion and a drive to be able to encourage you, to raise you up. It's just filled with young men and women, teenagers, younger than teenagers, young in their 20s, just going after God and worship God. And there's nothing like being where you're supposed to be, in the presence of God.
They're expecting 25,000 in attendance. Don't forget that you can register absolutely for free. And you're going to be, it's a wonderful time to end the year. You know, if you're searching for God, even if you're not searching for the Lord, but you want to start 2013 in a way that has a One Thing focus, which is having the Lord first and foremost in your life. We want to encourage you. I think it's the last 4 or 5 years, it's the fifth year that we've been gathering for the One Thing Conference. And I know that so many in the church are just so excited about it, because it's just going to relight that fire again. The worship, I mean, oh my goodness. The worship that comes out during this conference is always just so fresh and intimate. We're just expecting a wonderful, wonderful time and getting ready to bring in the new year. Listen, 2013, we don't know what 2013 is going to bring. We're believing it's the year of the harvest, but no one knew what 2012 was going to be all about. You want to start this year off going after God. You want to start this year off, 2013, in the Lord's presence. Join us. Join us as we join in the One Thing Conference.
There's just nothing more important, going after God. You're going to be right. So shocked when you get to heaven to find out it is all about the One Thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's like, when are they going to start talking about me? It's like, no, it's about him. That's it's right. about his beauty and his awesomeness and his authority and the price that he paid that no man could pay.
That's right.
It's all about Jesus.
That's it.
Thank God
mm-hmm.
for his son, Jesus Christ. Pat, yeah. What's God been saying to you, man?
Well,
that's deep.
Yeah, it is, wasn't it? Man, that was good. Well, I was reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
That's really good.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yes.
It's a good book. You got to read it.
Yes.
And it says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what you just said?
Satan has blinded the minds of the people.
He's the God of this world.
Yeah.
Oh my! To be friendship with the world, then that means to be friendship with the God of this world,
mm-hmm.
which is Satan,
which is an enemy of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
That's just profound. No, you're right. Exactly. And he blinds those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
In verse 6, it says, "For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, he has made this light shine in our hearts, so we I can't read my writing now.
The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord.
I think.
This is good, man. Come on.
Oh, wow. Anyway.
This is good.
Anyway, so, you know, that light he puts inside of us is for us, is to shine. And then verse 7 says, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure.
That's the cracks you were talking about.
That's what I was talking about this morning.
That's what I
This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves.
Right.
Well, what got my attention is this, when he's talking about, you know, the fragile clay jars that we're in. And
fragile, pathetic.
You know, a lot of us, of course, me, I don't know about you guys.
We understand.
We spend a lot of time trying to cover up these cracks and holes in our jars.
Spackle.
Because we don't like it. Right. You know, we're like, ugh. You know, we're so self-conscious of ourselves and our weaknesses and our flaws, and we're constantly trying to cover it up. And what God says, if you just let, if you, like Paul says all the time, he says, you know, I'll boast in my weaknesses so that God's glory would be manifest. You know, so it's that light inside of us that's trying to get out, but we're too busy trying to cover it all up. God, I mean, people can't see the light in us.
It's the crack that lets the light out.
It's the cracks that let the light out.
Mm.
So God gets the glory for our weakness.
It's good.
You know what I'm saying? It's
Our natural nature is we're so worried about, you know, our weakness getting in the way of the message. And it's like, no, it's actually our weakness that is the message.
That's exactly the message. And it's like, we're so polar opposites. What it's just.
Somebody says, look at the size of my ministry. Oh, you're really pathetic. God's really using you.
Exactly.
Right. God's really using you.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, okay, Lord. All right. You know, you're like peeling off the Band-Aids. Get rid of that. Get rid of this.
So we can start talking about your stuff now.
Please.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. You've been holding back? Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm in trouble now.
Well, this there was this one thing.
Miss the extra hour. You don't want to miss the extra hour.
It's all going to be let loose now.
Now we get it. It's like, cut. It looks like we're coming to an end today.
Hey.
That's really a good word. It's so important because it's the fact that God puts us all surpassing power and jars of clay to prove that it's him and not us.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that you can be used by God the moment you realize that God uses weak things, things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.